we're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast,
Virtually Limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network. So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen, I can feel it. Oh,
this life we were given it, so take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, Virtually Limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of,
this is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
I want to make sure we're not actually live and it's just not showing me, because that it's done that to me. I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
We're not getting comments yet.
Oh, wow. We are live right now, but it's not showing me that. What's up, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? Today I'm here with Joshua Lee. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and let everyone know what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you.
There we go. Well, the funnier part is that, you know, we've been live for a while and he was watching one of these two guys. No, man, Trey, it's great to be here, brother. Excited. A little bit of background about me. Started my career back in 2003 in the online ad space. One of my first clients happened to be MySpace and Google. So worked with them many years ago. Got lucky to be able to monetize all their traffic. Built multiple different companies since then. I think I'm on my 15th company now. In that whole time frame, I've probably personally monetized over $100 million in ad spend. My companies have done over $300 million. And these days with Standard Authority, man, I'm here to be able to help people, you know, be human online again through the vehicle of LinkedIn. So that's a little bit about me. And oh yeah, I wrote a book, Balance is Bullshit. So how to live more of an integrated life.
That's awesome. So let's go into the basics. I know when I log into LinkedIn, I don't know what to do with it. Where do you start with a new LinkedIn account? What needs to be optimized?
Biggest thing right at the bat is it's going to be your tip of the spear, right? That's your profile. So this is where we really start everyone at. If you don't have your profile optimized, you're kind of missing out, dude. Microsoft bought LinkedIn for $24.6 billion cash about 2 years ago. So the way that they're going to be integrating that data across that platform is going to be amazing. And most people set up their profile, walked away, and haven't really updated or treated like a resume. And one of the biggest things that are out there right now is, you know, they're going to be integrating that into, they're already doing it into Outlook, into Word, into Excel, into Skype, all the different products that Microsoft has. So you want to make sure your information is on point. Two, at the same time, the way that I work with most of my clients, if you set up your profile correctly, you'll never have to actually sell. That will do it for you. That's the tip of your funnel. So first and foremost, you need a picture, right? We don't need the same picture that we use on Instagram or Facebook or stuff like that. It's, you know, an easy picture, clean cut with, you know, easy white background is probably the first and foremost step. We're just going basics, right? So, and then the next is your headline. You want to make sure your headline is attention grabbing. Most people I go in there and see, they go in and they're like, oh, I'm the CEO of, or I'm the founder of, or I'm director of sales, or I'm whatever. Oh, look, we got our Facebook Live link now. you know, and all these different pieces as well. And the bigger thing is you just blend in. You blend in with everyone, and we want to make sure that you stand out. So what I always tell people is I help X to achieve Y so they can do Z. And the reason why they do that is, who do you help? Who's your avatar? What do you do? And then why do they buy? What's the end result that after working with you that they get? Because that's the main reason why everyone moves forward. So those are the three things that I'd make sure you do. Your profile's on point, picture, and headline. From there is a whole nother thing. And we can go through the whole profile, but I'm sure we can talk about a lot more fun things.
Absolutely. So what type of content should we be creating on LinkedIn, since there's not really a ton of competition on there?
I mean, dude, I love LinkedIn for the organic reach right now. It's Facebook like 2008-09, right, where you had massive organic reach. With Facebook, even though we're doing a Facebook Live, you actually have to pay to play. I mean, to really be able to get that engagement that we used to get, we spent years going through and trying to make sure that we've actually got these likes, and now we have to pay to get in front of them. On LinkedIn, content's king, being able to put it out there, you can get this organic reach massive, but you have to be able to be really clear on what you're doing. I'm a huge fan, and I work with all my clients in regards to the 10-20-70 rule. You ever heard of that rule before?
The 10-20-7 rule?
10-20-70.
I've not heard that one.
All right, so I'll break it down. 10% personal, right? People buy from other people. This is why, you know, I don't believe in B2B or B2C. I believe everything's H to H, human to human. Every company is run by another human being. So the reason why we have the 10% personal is, look, one, it's not Facebook. Trey, you don't care, you know, on LinkedIn when my kids go to their first day of school. You don't need to share that, but you don't live too far from me. You know, we're both in Texas. Things like this are important to be able to share, because that allows other people to go. I mean, that's one of the main reasons you and I connected, was like, dude, you live down in Wimberley. I mean, that's not far away. We can actually connect. And that's that human nature connection. So that's 10% to be able to share a little bit about who you are, to be able to draw in your right audience, because we gravitate to people that we know that are based around our similarities. 20% is company, right? So the reason why you only talk about 20% of the content needs to be your company content about what you do and how you help is because we don't want to be that guy in the room that's always talking about themselves. And that's what most people do on LinkedIn. They're just pitching, they're selling, they're talking about their company, they're talking about themselves. We've all seen that guy, right? In the room, they're like, oh, dude, there's Josh again at this event. Dude only talks about LinkedIn. God, it's exactly. We just don't want to be that person. So that's the one thing, is we only do 20% about company, and then 70% is other that adds value to your audience. So think about being an aggregator of content. You know, what you want to be able to do is, you know, I'll age myself, but Yahoo back in the day, it was a place that everyone went on a weekly or daily basis, I should say. And they aggregated content from around the web. If you're the person adding value to your ideal audience and educating them, inspiring them, when they decide that they have the problem or the issue that you can help them with, they're going to go to you because you're the one that educated them to be able to solve it. So that's the 10-20-70 rule.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So that's always the biggest thing, right? I mean, we don't want to, everyone's, this is what allows LinkedIn, if you do it right, people go, I don't get any engagement, because they're always talking about themselves. They're always talking about their company. They're always pitching or selling. And because they're like, oh, it's a B2B platform. It is, but every company, like I said, is run by another human being. And that's where these are what marketers have forgotten.
Yeah, I think it's really easy to forget on LinkedIn, because you get on there and it's nothing but headshots and look at my business.
Right, right. So that's why when you go through, I mean, we work with our clients to be able to look, man, this is the biggest thing. Like you've heard before, right? You know, if you run a company and it's all about making that money, you're always going to be really striving. It's never going to be enough. You're always going to be keep on pushing forward, trying to achieve the next dollar. But they always say, like, if you build a business and you allow the byproduct to be money, allow what you do to be the driver point to be able to help or whatever offer you're doing, you'll build a better business. Well, it's the same thing with actually drawing an audience. I mean, I don't work with my clients to help them find the clients. I help them to build advocates through education, inspiration, and drawing them in, and allow the byproduct to be clients. Because at that point, if someone chooses to be part of your network or chooses to buy your product or service, dude, your LTV on that client goes through the roof, because you didn't sell them the first time around. So when that reoccurring revenue or billing hits again, they're not going, Trey, what am I paying you for again? Damn, I got to pay for, no, they're excited. They chose to be part of your program. So that's kind of how we work it.
Awesome. You got to build up that happy obligation.
Exactly.
So do you have any tips for creating more inbound messages on LinkedIn?
Well, I mean, that's the piece, right? I mean, the biggest way to be able to create inbound messages, one, dude, I hate cold calls and I hate cold emails. I hate receiving them. I mean, it's just spam at this point. I mean, someone calls me, dude, I get robo dials on my phone all day long. It's exhausting. At the same time on LinkedIn, we probably all get them. You know, we connect with someone, 2 seconds later, we get the auto pitch that someone's using a bot to be able to hope in. And what they're hoping is, you know, you and I talked about this before, they're hoping for that one sale out of 1,000. And they don't realize that they're pissing off 999 people to get that one sale. There's a better way to be able to do it. So like with my clients, we go in and we teach them to engage with the people that engage with us. So what you want to look at is, one, as you're drawing this content in, let me pull it back a little bit, dude. So the 10-20-70 rule, the reason why we have that 70 rule is all about being able to use and appreciate other people's content to be able to tag them and give them the appreciation for providing that value. When you do that, you actually can go in. Let's say Trey, you wrote an article on Forbes. So I'm like, wow, really love this article from Trey. Boom, I tagged you via, you know, Forbes magazine. He quoted, you know, Tony Robbins within the article. And so I'm able to, you know, and this quote was really struck me really well, you know, whatever it might be. So now I just opened up my post to three other audiences that I didn't have before. So it gives it more breadth to be able to get that. So at that point in time, you get more engagement. I only push my clients to be able to work with engagement. I only care about the likes, comments, and shares. Views are great, but and that's just branding and that's just vanity metrics. People watching something, it's great, but most of the time they're not going to do anything past that. And that, on LinkedIn, you know, your average watch time is around 7 seconds. So you want them to be able to take action. So anyone that likes, comments, and shares, we actually reach out and start with appreciation, which 9 times out of 10 people I talk to have never been appreciated for what they've naturally been conditioned to do online. The human condition online is to like, comment, share, and move on with our life. And what we want to do is be able to create a stopgap in that pattern. We want to be able to, you know, create that gap that makes them pause within the condition of being online, which is reach out and go, Trey, man, I saw you like my recent post X. I just want to take a second out, man, and say thank you so much. Too often we don't appreciate these things. Love to be able to connect with you and find out, you know, what pushed you to my post. So you're starting a conversation and starting with appreciation, which is so much better than going, hey, I looked at your profile and, you know, I think we've got amazing connections. Bullshit. Which is the case.
That makes a lot of sense. It's such a slight change in the way you're reaching out to people, but it's really going to make a huge difference in the way that they respond.
Right. And I mean, that's what you want to do. How many times, Trey, have you gotten connected with people on LinkedIn and then you've never had any conversation after?
Everybody on LinkedIn, I've got over 500 connections and I've talked to like 3 people on there.
That's usually what happens. So the good thing about this, when you start the appreciation, most times people are going to respond back and go, dude, wow, thank you. Because that's what we want. We want to start a conversation because that's how humans interact. We've gotten to such a point online that people go in, they talk at people and they don't speak conversation online like you and I are having a conversation now. It would be like me just sitting here talking the entire time and not allowing you to even say 2 words. So we have to be able to change on how we do that. And we want to be able to draw people in. So that's kind of where it starts.
Wow. That's I never really thought about it from that perspective. That does bring a very human element to it.
And that's the piece. We want to be able to have that connection, that engagement, that conversation. Because the more you have conversation, the more you're able to really draw someone in and have them actually listen to you. I mean, these days, I mean, people are going through video and posting and sending messages out, and they're just talking at people and pitching and pitching and pitching. And they don't try to actually treat someone like a human and actually connect. I mean, as soon as we see these things, I mean, dude, I've got my name on LinkedIn as Joshua B. Lee. So I always know really quickly if someone's using automated bots because they go, hey, Joshua B., I checked out your profile, or wow, we've got amazing friends, or we got this. I'm like, bullshit. No, you didn't. You snagged my name, used the automated tool, and you're hoping that at 1 out of every 1,000 people will actually respond to your automated message.
Aren't those automated tools actually getting accounts taken down now too?
All the time, man. I mean, LinkedIn has been very aggressive on going through if you're using automation, and they find out that you're doing that, they give you one warning. And if they, and sometimes even if you've been very aggressive on it, they don't even give you a warning and your account's gone forever. And I mean, look, that's not a good thing. Then you got to go in, get a new email, adjust your name slightly, and now you're not really being you. You're trying to, I mean, there's people that will do it, right? They'll have 50 different names on there. I used to have people in my world years ago, and they'd change their name every 6 months because they get caught. You know, they make as much money as possible in 6 months, and they go, oh, well, got caught, hand in the cookie jar. Guess I got to change my name now.
Wow, yeah. When I got started, I was kind of one of those people who was going from trick to trick, from hack to hack that people were teaching me too. And right. I'd get my account in the Facebook jail. I got Instagram accounts taken down. I'd get stuff to grow really fast, but none of it would pay off. Right. So now I pretty much refuse automation in most scenarios. If it's social media, I don't want to automate it outside of posting. Yeah. It scares me.
Well, dude, and that's the whole thing, man. I mean, it's like, that's exhausting. Trying to always make sure you're staying ahead of the system, like with an algorithm or with getting using automation or whatever it might be. That's why when I started, man, I told you, I teach marketers how to be human online again. The reason what we go through and how we act and how we work with our clients, dude, it's not about the next trick or next tool or next, you know, automation or even an algorithm adjustment. It's human nature that we're teaching people how to connect with the people so it will stand the test of time. And you can use it across platform. We're talking about LinkedIn, but when's the last time you liked a post on Facebook and someone reached out and like, dude, Trey, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't. So what are some other tricks that we can use to get more people to see our content on LinkedIn?
It's clear, consistent content. So, you know, LinkedIn has what's called an SSI score. You can go to standoutauthority.com/SSI. Or you can just go, you know, if you want to, you can just go to Google and type in LinkedIn SSI. And you can actually, as long as you're logged into your LinkedIn, you can pull that up. It's a score based on how you interact with their algorithm. And the better that your higher your score is, the more that they're going to be able to push your content out there. So 0 to 30, it says 0 to 100. So 0 to 30, it's kind of like, you know, back when we were in school and they're like, cool, you put your name on it. Yay, we're going to give you some points. So, you know, that's 0 to 30. You put your name on the test. 30 to 70 is you're looking around, you're kind of checking out content, but you're not really engaging or doing anything else. Once you actually get to 70 to 100, now you're within their algorithm. They see that you're actually engaging, you're posting, you're connecting and doing all the things that they want to see as a true social selling algorithm. Social selling is not, the definition of social selling has nothing to do with selling. It's all about engaging, educating, and connecting with other individuals to be able to tell them about what you're doing and be able to give them value. So being able to do that, here's a quick trick to be able to help make sure that you get your SSI score 70 above within 30 days. We do it with our clients all the time. So there's four things you have to do every day, Trey. First off, you want to do one post every day, right? So every day, one post that adds value to your audience. Two, you want to reshare someone else's post that would add value to your audience that is an influencer within your marketplace. It's okay that they might even be, they either have a product that, you know, works well with yours, or it might even be competing, but we want to make sure we're still adding value. You're the one that provided the value. Three, you want to make sure you go like someone else's post that's either an avatar of yours or that is a influencer in their marketplace. And then four, one other post, you want to go in and comment on someone else's post that's a influencer in your marketplace and add value to their content. So post, reshare, like, comment, four different posts. If you do that every single day, and truly, man, once you get into it, you can do this in 5-10 minutes a day, you'll start seeing that SSI score go up. And you'll start seeing more engagement to your posts.
Wow. That makes sense. Yeah, that's solid.
So, you know, I try and make it easy, man. I mean, you and I have talked before. dude, I'm not here to be able to put up a whole bunch of, convoluted, tactics that are going to confuse someone. It's just simple things that we've just forgotten to do anymore. And we're in this world of trying to move fast,
absolutely
fast and monetize everything. And dude, I was the guy. I mean, like I told you, people used to go to me like, oh, you need to monetize someone? Josh can do it. Josh can help you monetize anything. And I mean, I was good at that. Now I've been able to figure out it's not about monetizing. It's about engaging, educating, inspiring. And I promise you, man, the people will come and you won't have to worry about monetizing because it will naturally happen.
Wow, that's awesome. So how can we find our ideal clients on LinkedIn?
So Sales Navigator, I mean, that's one of the best ways to be able to do it. And here's the whole piece. LinkedIn's for the higher end engagement. So you're looking for the higher end avatar. Your average income on Twitter right now is about 58,000. Last time I looked, Facebook was 61,000. Look, the average median income across the United States is 63,000. So the average income on those two platforms is even below the median of the United States. The average income on LinkedIn, 118,000 a year. Huge difference. So right out the gate, we've got people that have disposable income that can actually buy your products or services if you educate them enough and get in front of them to do that. So that's why I love the platform. I want people that actually have money, not going, damn, where's, can I call you back? I need to get another credit card so I can buy your product. That's hard. We've seen it, right? I mean, we know guys that do that. So that's the whole piece. I don't ever want to have to worry about that aspect. I want to be able to go in and be able to help these people with whatever we're doing. So on LinkedIn, to be able to get more, it's Sales Navigator. I think it's $69 or $68 or $70 a month, somewhere in that, around that range. And if you can't actually make, if you one sale doesn't actually at least cover that cost, then you shouldn't be, I'm going to be honest, you shouldn't be on LinkedIn anyway. It's not your platform. Because it's not a platform to sell to the masses. If you're trying to sell millions of, $10 items, what I'm teaching is not for you. This is really going to be to really get high-end products or services out there to an audience that I can actually afford them. So Sales Navigator, go in there. And I mean, dude, most people go, oh yeah, that's the marketing platform. That's where it helps me be able to find my people that I can spam. No. It's a platform for social listening. If you go in there and you put in your ideal avatar, going through all the different parameters, that a lot of this stuff that Facebook took away, you can't really target by this anymore. And we're not targeting, we're listening. So I can actually go in there, see who's posted in the last 30 days. That's in my ideal, that is my ideal avatar within my region, which in the world, wherever it might be, see who's posted. And then give them really what we all want. There's one main reason why everyone posts online. I don't care. You can say to get clients, to get, to build advocacy, to go whatever. There's one visceral reason why we all post online. You know what it is? I don't know if we talked about this last time.
To get likes.
That's it. They want that like. They want that engagement. They want that dopamine hit that they get every time they look in like, yes, got another one. Someone validated what I said, or someone validated my picture. So that's what we start off doing, man. I mean, it's that give people what they really want viscerally, which is listen to your avatar and go engage on their content, like, comment, then reach back out to them. Start with appreciation again. Trey, man, I saw your article that you posted the other day, or your post that you posted the other day, X. Man, really saw a lot of value in it. Love to be able to connect with you, find out more what you're up to. Again, it's always starting with appreciation. Appreciate people for commenting on your own. And then at the same time, listen and appreciate what they put out there as well. And they draw them into one main funnel that you're able to, what I call the engagement engine.
That's awesome. So you're really just appealing to the basic human needs to be validated.
Surprise, that's, right?
that's awesome, honestly. So what kind of outreach methods can we use to start actually turning people into leads? Like once you've once you've been engaging with them, how can you reach out to get them on the phone?
So, you know, I've got a fairly quick process on it. I mean, we've taken some of our clients, from engagement to close in 7 days. And look, man, I don't really always share this, but I mean, I want to make sure this is what I call our engagement engine. We're going in from that first like. I mean, follow the path here. So we're going in, we posted, they engaged. We reached out to appreciate them. That's number two. All right, that's second touch point. We connected with them at three. We've now gone in. Next piece is being able to go endorse them. So it's like a compliment. So we give them a compliment. They reach back out and say, wow, Trey, thank you so much for endorsing me, which LinkedIn made it easy to do. Of course, happy to do it. From here, you can actually go in and, you know what? Let me ask you a question while I have you, because I'd love to find out your thoughts on this. We can ask a qualifying question. So after they answer the qualifying question, boom, at this point in time, if you want to get them on a phone call, wow, I appreciate that. We're at 9 touch points at this point, and you can do this fairly fast. I've done it in 7 days, and go, man, I appreciate your insight on that question. You know, I'd love to find out more on your thoughts on this. Can we jump on a phone call and, you tell me about more about what you've got going on? The main thing that everyone does when they get on a phone call to talk about themselves, you and I just met. I just finished talking about myself. We've been conditioned, again, that human condition you've heard me talk about a lot of times. We've been conditioned to go after we're done. We've just met someone, go, dude, man, I just talked all about what I've got going on. Trey, dude, what are you doing these days? I just invited you in, and now I'm really listening to be able to hear what you have going on and be able to make a real decision on either to move forward with you or go, wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you about, if it's not for me, let me show you who else I can, let me start pushing you out. They become an advocate at that point because you made it all about them all throughout that process. You had 9 touch points before you ever, ever even talked about yourself. So that's what we do.
Wow.
Now this is time consuming. This is why people hire us, right? Because they don't have the time to be able to do this across the board. But
yeah,
it works. We usually, one of our clients, Dan Sullivan, was Strategic Coach. You know, I mean, we've been able to see up to 30% conversion ratios by following this process.
Yeah, I definitely see that it would work. It just kind of, it catches me off guard because it's so simple. It's so straightforward that you would really go straight past those options.
Right.
Most people
go straight past it and go, well, how can I, they're sitting there waiting. I mean, like kind of with conversations, right? Most people you meet when you're talking, they're just waiting for their chance to talk. They're actually not listening to you. They're going, okay, is he almost done? Okay. Oh, I'm going to say this. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to give this response back, and they stop listening. Well, that's why we do this whole piece, because we want them to listen. We want them to make it about themselves and be able to draw them in. It's about warming up a lead. And that way you never have cold outreach.
Awesome. So do y'all leverage the paid advertising on LinkedIn?
Most times we never spend a dollar on advertising. Being able to go through our organic process, we're able to help and be able to help clients with, you know, anywhere from products and services that have recurring revenue of $3,000 a month, all the way up to $50,000 a month. We've been able to take them through our process and never spend a dollar on advertising. Now, the only time that I would suggest going in, and it's funny, my wife had a question from a group that she was in yesterday, and someone asked, like, hey, I've got a client, we're helping them with LinkedIn advertising, and I'm trying to tell them, why they need to spend $500 rather than $300. And all I know is to get more traffic. Can anyone help me? My wife's like, do you want to answer that? I said, well, first off, I want to tell them to stop selling shit they don't actually know what they're doing. I go, you can't answer a simple question on why they should spend more, and you're asking other people. You probably shouldn't be offering a service anyway. And there's a bigger thing. What type of advertising? Where are they going in? There's a whole piece. The biggest thing that we go in and be able to do is, because we work our engagement engine, we'll look and use social proof. So remember that where you have your company page as well, that's where all advertising happens. And then you have your personal page. So every time you get something that has high engagement, high reaction, high views, you can then, if you need to get more engagement, move that post over to your company page, and then you can boost it to be able to get more engagement. Then you're not worrying, because LinkedIn advertising is expensive. It's not cheap, but that's the best way to be able to do it. Find the post that actually gets you the most engagement, boost that up to get more views on it, to get more engagement that you can then roll through the engagement engine.
Yeah, I think on any platform, you end up paying less for engagement than for actual conversions, which makes sense.
And so, I mean, because you're trying to sell. So if you know how to be able to engage with the people that engage with you, most people put up a post and they walk away. It's kind of like when you hear the people like, oh, if you, and I mean, look, you know, I believe in a lot of things, but at the same time, I don't believe if I meditate on making more money, I mean, I meditate every day, it's not going to magically happen. You know, I can't go money, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be fucking, you know, money's going to be flying at me. It doesn't happen. You've got to take action. So it's the same thing with putting a post out there, right? You've got to be able to put the post out and not just go, cool, I did that. Where's my clients? Come on, send me money. No, man, you got to engage with the people that actually like, comment, and share, and then actually draw them in, have a conversation with them. So that's the piece. When you boost posts, no matter Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever, that's where you get the opportunity. You got to follow through all the way down the rabbit hole.
That's awesome. You just simplified that whole platform for me.
I mean, I'll do the best I can. I mean, here's the thing. It's not an easy platform. There's so many things, from groups to your personal page to your company page to advertising to engagement. There's a lot of stuff, but the better that we can simplify it, because it is, most people are just starting to really use it. You just got to be able to go it, not to overcomplicate. We, as humans, we usually overcomplicate things. And it's like, look, keep it simple, smart, right? The KISS method. I just don't believe in the keep it simple, stupid. so, you know, that's the whole piece of being able to go in. And if you do that, I mean, dude, fun fact, 44% of all millionaires are on LinkedIn.
That's good information to know.
I don't know if it does anything, but fun fact.
So, is there anything else that you think is important to understand about the platform?
Those are the basics. And I mean, look, you know, as I said, I work with most of the people that I work with are a lot of the high-end coaches. And I've been blessed. These are guys that I've read their books on how to, you know, really start my company, from Dan Sullivan to John Maxwell to Jay Abraham to, you know, Joe Polish. I mean, a lot of these guys out there. But the problem is I want to make sure that I provide as enough information. So on LinkedIn, dude, I share daily content all the time. I always tell people to follow me on there. I try and give as much information, but the biggest thing we all know is most people don't actually take action on, you know, on any content they read. As I always tell people, come in, they're like, oh, how do you do this? I'm like, look, man, are you going to take action or not? Because if you're not, there's this cool website. It's called Google. You can search and collect as much information as possible and never take action on it. If you want to be able to take action and actually get results, you know, let me tell you about this. So that's always the biggest thing. So like, we just recently put out a masterclass for the first time ever, that really takes everyone through with very small groups to be able to get them educated on every aspect, to be able to, within 6 weeks, be able to get them to the other side.
That's awesome. So if you could go back to before you ever started a business, what would you make sure that you knew and understood?
Well, I mean, honestly, the biggest thing is I'm not alone. It's funny you asked that question. It's a repetitive question on a lot of different kinds. Like yesterday, I was doing a podcast. I got asked the same thing. Most entrepreneurs, we all feel like we're on this island. We create this island for ourselves, that we're all alone. This is why I love that group that you're in. You know, it shows that we're not alone. Too many people go, I've got to bear this weight. I mean, dude, that almost killed me. You know, I look back on my past. I was running 10 companies outside looking in. You know, I was successful based on what people base success on, which is monetary value. But at that point in time, I was 45 pounds heavier than I am now. My relationships were monetary, and I had no vision about where I was. I just knew where I was at. And everything was work as hard as I played and played as hard as I worked, you know, and it just, it was killing me. It was put me in a shallow grave really quick. You know, I had family, kids, everything, house. And I finally realized this just wasn't the way I was going. And because I made myself alone, I tried to do it all on my own. We're not alone. Entrepreneurs aren't alone. We've got all each other. And the only way that we're going to be able to change this world, because I believe entrepreneurs are the ones that can do it. We've got to be able to do it together. That's why I do everything I can to work with amazing people like yourself and some of my other clients to be able to all work together to all of us rise up. Long answer to our easy question. Sorry.
Absolutely. One thing that we always say is we all win when we all win. And that's kind of what I live around.
Yeah. So that's it, man. And that's why I came on. When you asked me like, hey, will you do it? Hell yes, I will. It's in my life. It's either hell yes or hell no. It's the same kind of thing when you think about posting, right? So people go in, they want to be indifferent. Screw that. You want to be polarizing. I want people to either love me or hate me. If I'm sitting in the middle of the fence and I don't push them either way, I'm just wasting their time and mine. And I value my time over everyone else's. Everything else, I value over money. So, because it's the only one resource we can't get back. So you want people to be able to love or hate you because that's the only reason they make buying decisions. They need to love something or hate something. So always be polarizing. Same kind of scenario how I live my life. It's like, look, and my wife gets pissed off all the time. She's like, you're either all in, you're all out. It's like, look, you know, it is what it is, but it's better that way.
Huh. There's something to be said for that, though. You know, like, you know what you're serious about.
And that's it, man. I mean, dude, if you're online and you're putting content out there, you want your haters. You got to be able to drink that hater aid, because the more haters you have, the more people that were going to stand up for you as well. And you're going to draw your right tribe in. This is why you get interaction. This is why content works. It's not because you're indifferent. You're like, oh, well, the day is beautiful. No, today is fucking hot in Austin. It's October and it's almost 100 degrees out still. When is it going to get colder? If people want to go, oh, well, it's okay. No, screw global warming. Whatever it might be, you know, you have to be, and the people are going to be like, dude, Josh is, I'm 100% with Josh, or Josh is crazy. Cool. That's what I want.
Awesome. So how do you deal with those haters when they do come up?
You answer them. I've got my good friend of mine, Jesse Elder. I mean, he's probably one of the best. I mean, he'll go through and he'll actually have an amazing conversation with them until they bow out. Because he doesn't bother him. He's like, look, I know I'm doing what I have to do, and this is going to happen. When you're going down the path, you're always going to have people that either hate you for what you're doing or hate you for the success you're achieving. So you just got to be able to drink that shit and be able to keep on moving forward, because that's the only way you're going to get to where you're going.
That's awesome. And I feel like anytime you're doing something good, like if you're moving forward for yourself, a lot of the people, the haters, a lot of the time, they're hating because they're not doing it.
Right. It's jealousy. It's envy. So, you know, that means the things, the same kind of thing when people go in like, I don't want to share all my content and do, dude, that's why I share on here. Look, if someone, and they're like, someone's going to steal my stuff or they're going to copy. Cool. That's the best form of flattery. That means I'm doing something right. If someone steals what I'm offering and showing and teaching and tries to put their own name on it, rock and roll. That means I'm doing something well. And you know what, in the long run, they're going to have some success, but more than that, they're going to be found out. I mean, we've got new people like Jay Shetty, right? He just got now outed for stealing everyone's content. I've got another name that's coming up. I can't really say it right now, but another big name just got, you know, revealed as well of being one of those coaches out there that just stealing everyone's content. So, you know, it eventually comes out. Share as much as possible, and the truth will set you free, so to speak, right? Always be you.
Absolutely. So you wrote your book. It was called Balance is Bullshit, right?
Yeah, I got one. There we go. Look.
What's that all about?
Balance is bullshit. So kind of like what I told you, man. I mean, it's where it shares the things that I went through in my life, you know, where I was success. You know, I've been a millionaire two times in my life. Then is the key word, right? So not is. And I wanted to be able to share these things. I mean, in the book, I talk about achieving, building the different companies and sharing those things that I was basically raised. I mean, most of us as guys, right? And especially as entrepreneurs, we're not supposed to share all the